Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, day off for the Buffalo Bills out at St. John Fisher University, but not here for me on the Extra Point Show. Here with you today, 803-0550, Sal Capaccio with you, and taking your phone calls on whatever you'd like to talk about on the Buffalo Bills for the first week of camp. It has been a week. They opened up a week ago today out at St. John Fisher University. And of course, the big news, the big story, and the big waiting game is on cornerback Maxwell Hairston. And we still have nothing on Hairston, unless something's come over here, Josh, in the last, you know, 5-10 minutes since I've been bumping around here ready for the show. I haven't seen anything, right? So nothing on Maxwell Hairston for the Buffalo Bills yet. And we wonder and we wait. So what happened was, yesterday, Max Hairston was working with defenders off on the side field. And he went down with an apparent non-contact injury. We know that after both Dane Jackson and Taron Johnson spoke to the media after practice. But it was on the side field, and really there were no media watching at the time or filming him going through his drill. But after it happened, there's video from several different media members, Dan Fates out in Rochester, Carl Jones here in Buffalo, John Scott here in Buffalo, and others, of Max Hairston sitting, being looked at, talking to, with trainers, and getting tested. It looked like they were testing his knee. And you could interpret that. Are they testing for an ACL, an MCL, all of those things that go into it, right? That's what it appeared to be. As he was being tested, he laid back down. He was on his back, full length, put his hands up to his head, kind of, you know, being upset. Sat back up, talked to trainers, got up. Teammates surrounded him, hugged him, talked to him. He walked off the field with a trainer, Nate Bresky, the head athletic trainer of the Bills. We say on his own, under his own power. He did walk. He wasn't carted, which is, I think, at least noteworthy. But he also had quite a bit of assistance from Nate Bresky, and I think that's noteworthy. So we can interpret all of that however we want, whatever video you want to watch, and however that comes into play. So that being said, as we waited last night for any leak of information, news, reporting from anyone on the situation, late last night, we get an Instagram post from Max Hairston. His Instagram post had a picture of him signing a football. And he wrote in the caption, quote, "Beyond blessed, thank you, God," with prayer hands in between "beyond blessed" and "thank you, God." This is something I've said many times before, which is, I try not to read into too much of what players write on social media. We live in a day and age where anything can get interpreted in a number of different ways. How many times have you seen a player tweet something that has, that people think and run with, has something to do with their teammate, their situation in football, the fans, whatever? And it's really not about that at all. It might be something about their personal life. Might be something about, oh, you really lied to me. That's all they write, right? Like some guy's like, ah,
nice to be lied to. And like, oh my God, what's the team doing? Oh, maybe that was just about like something with the fight with their girlfriend or something. Who knows? Those things happen. So in this situation, I would think it would have to at least deal with his injury, right? But I think you can also take this a couple of different ways. I think A, you can look at it as encouraging, and Maxwell Hairston saying, beyond blessed, thank you God, meaning I escaped serious injury. That would be great. I think you could also take it to mean something of a far more serious situation, which is an injury, which is maybe him still putting his faith in God, even though he is seriously injured. I think you could go either way. So that's why I don't want to make an assumption here. It is our job to report it because he wrote it and it has to do with it, I'm sure. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Not a great situation for the Buffalo Bills if they do lose their first round rookie corner, as Joe and Jeremy and Howard actually were talking about this morning, and I agree. I think Howard was the one that said, because Tre'Davious White's been starting, yes, you would lose your first round corner, but you're not losing a starting corner. And that's a way to look at it, there's no doubt. And it is also a way to at least get us to Tre'Davious White and how he's looking, which I want to do here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today, because I wrote about him yesterday. I thought he was the best player on the field. In the meantime, we can get connected with you, our fans, and of course, getting connected is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. The Bills have what I think is pretty good depth at their corner spot, but that's having some faith in maybe the rookie Dorian Strong. Where if you look at their corner spot right now, and we're talking outside boundary corner, Taron Johnson's obviously a nickel. Christian Benford, and then Tre'Davious White and Max Hairston on the other side. Beyond that, if they don't have Max Hairston, Jamarcus Ingram is still on this roster. Dane Jackson is on this roster. Dorian Strong was drafted and should be on this, is on this roster. I think actually Dorian Strong probably has a better chance to be on the roster maybe than Dane Jackson, simply because there's a draft pick and he's subject to waivers because he's a young player. And if they were to release him at the end of camp, he could be get claimed by any team. That wouldn't be the case with Dane Jackson. You could release Dane Jackson and still sign him to the practice squad as a break glass in case of emergency veteran, which to me still trends that way looking at how this fits. You still have Daquan Hardy, Tecorey Couch, and Daryl Porter Jr., who I don't put in the same bucket as any of these guys I'm talking about. Jordan Hancock is pretty much the backup nickel corner and a safety, like a Cam Lewis. So what you really have at the end of the day is Benford, Hairston, White, Ingram, Strong, Jackson. I count six boundary corners. And I think that's a good number to have, but you're not keeping six boundary corners on your roster. If you lose Max Hairston, you're down to five boundary corners. And it's still probably you're not keeping five. You could because of special teams, but you still have to have faith in that depth. And what that depth would be, again, is what is Dorian Strong right now? What is Dane Jackson at this point? After leaving the organization, coming back, he had an injury thing last year as well. And then there's Tre'Davious White. And a lot of this just hinges on Tre'Davious White. Suddenly, Tre'Davious White might become the most important Buffalo Bill outside of Josh Allen. Because maybe how he is, how he performs, where he is at this point of his career, where he is with his injuries, that the answer to that question might really make everything at corner hinge on the answer to that question, I should say. I really like what I've seen from Tre'Davious White. That doesn't mean that he's going to go into week one against the Baltimore Ravens and be a shutdown guy on, you know, pick your receiver for them. I think they do have DeAndre Hopkins now. They, by the way, they're in the news too with some injuries and a very significant injury for them that we'll get to. Zay Flowers, right? More of a slot guy, but you get the point. Tre'Davious White, week one is most likely the starter anyway, and I think this kind of ramps that up even if unless Max Hairston misses like no time, I think any sort of loss for like a week or so, missing preseason time, is significant to his development and chances to start week one. If he's out long term, then of course it looks like it's Tre'Davious White's job, and it currently is. Yesterday, as I just said, Tre'Davious White was, to me, the best player on the field, at least from what I saw in both one-on-ones and then translating to 11-on-11. In one-on-ones, they go goal line, one-on-one. Back of the end zone, he's draped all over Joshua Palmer. Does a nice job to make sure that he's kind of in his hip pocket wherever he goes. At that point, Josh Allen's going to try to fit it in, but he doesn't have to because, I mean, if you're in a regular season game, you're in a situation, it's probably going to throw it away, but he's going to fit it in this situation just because you're working the drill. He does. I think it's a ball maybe Josh doesn't throw normally, but he does throw it to try and fit it in this drill, and Tre'Davious White gets his head around, perfect position, picks it off. Defense goes nuts. Jamil Adai, his corners coach, you could see, DB coach, he's going crazy. Joe Dana, his teammates, it was great. It's really great to see. A little bit later, he's matched up against Keon Coleman. Keon gets to the goal line, works in, works out, tries to get away. Trey is right on him. Doesn't give him any breathing room. Has his hands on him. Keon's trying to get physical. Trey's right there. Again, maybe a ball Josh Allen doesn't throw in this situation to this particular spot. He does, and Trey's right there to kind of just, you know, he's got his left arm a little bit behind him. He reaches his right arm, and he bats it down. Then, in 11-on-11, as Joshua Palmer again is going down the left sideline, Tre'Davious White is in a basically like a trail coverage. He's one-on-one. I think it's probably a zone. There's a guy coming over the top, but Trey's there. It's a spot where, okay, he's there. He's not in the perfect position, but he's in good position, but the ball was perfectly placed for Joshua Palmer. And all he has to do is just let it come down to him. Josh Allen on the throw. But you know what Trey did? I mean, he used his length and his instincts to time it perfectly, and that's when I saw that play right in front of me, basically, as it's coming down the sidelines. That was the play where I said, that's the old Trey White. It's one thing in the one-on-ones, and you know, this is your one guy, you're sticking with him, you're doing this drill. This was 11-on-11. That guy's got the ball coming down to him on the sidelines, and he timed it perfectly. He used his length, he batted it away. And from there, they go nuts again on the sidelines. It was great to see. I like the camp Tre'Davious White is putting together. But it's got to translate into week one and beyond for the Buffalo Bills against the Baltimore Ravens. Speaking of the Baltimore Ravens, they are dealing with a significant injury, which I would say at this point looks like they will not have Isaiah Likely week one. It is possible, but it is a small foot fracture, according to Jeremy Fowler. If all goes well, quote, it's an early season return and week one is possible, from Jeremy Fowler. I would say in this situation, 4 to 6 weeks at least. Some are saying 5 to 7. That's fine. Okay, let's just say it's 5 weeks then. I mean, the season starts. How many weeks from now? Well, I mean, we've got the Hall of Fame game coming up. Let's just do a little math here. All right? Let's just say he comes back in 5 weeks from now. That would put you at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would put him coming back the week of the first game, practicing the first game. It is possible. Does he miss all that time and just show up week one and put him on the field? I think he's either lost or not playing or very, very minimal being able to do. I mean, all these teams are going to play the long game with these guys, right? You'd think a team like the Ravens would, they think they're going to be a, you know, Super Bowl contender. So I think the Ravens at this point look like they may be without Isaiah Likely. And let's look at the Ravens real quick. I want to just check something out on them because, let's see, we got Isaiah Likely is a very important player for them. even though they do have Mark Andrews, we know, and Mark Andrews is a good player, and he's going to be targeted a lot. And remember, Mark Andrews had a couple costly plays against the Bills in that AFC Championship game. He's getting a little older. He's had some, you know, injuries himself over the last couple of years. But Isaiah Likely is a big part of what they do. And I think even more so because their receivers, they're good. They're not blow you out of the water great. Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, DeAndre Hopkins now is there. Tylan Wallace. And then you really have a bunch of guys. Okay, what can they do? Anthony Miller, Devontae Walker. So, yeah, I just think that's a, especially the kind of offense that Greg Roman, the kind of offense the Ravens want to run. Roman used to be there. With their tight ends, how heavily involved, what they do, what they mean. I think that's a significant change, a significant loss for them, if indeed they are without Isaiah Likely, which I think they probably will be without Isaiah Likely as we sit here today. Will the Bills be without Maxwell Hairston? We don't know. Nothing on Maxwell Hairston right now. Anything you want to talk about is on the table when it comes to the Buffalo Bills, when it comes to training camp, and what am I getting here? Okay, here at camp. I'm reading. This is from, this is not on Maxwell Hairston. Just a little around the camp stuff. Every day you hear, see a little stuff. For the Chiefs today, Pete Sweeney reporting no Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, or Sky Moore. I mean, you talk about the Bills having these injuries. Everybody's dealing with them, and the Bills are definitely dealing with quite a bit of injuries. Too many, right? Everybody is right now. It's not just your team. You have to have a perspective around the league about what's going on. And when you are dealing with injuries, sometimes you just make sure, back off, and play the long game, like I said. And I think that's exactly what the Bills are basically doing here with several of their players. 803-0550 is the number to call. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We do have some player sound I want to get to today. Now, we heard from Taron Johnson right after some of the media did after practice yesterday. Got some sound saying that it was a non-contact injury and, you know, about Max Hairston. But overall, Taron Johnson also spoke a couple days ago after practice just about camp, about that point of where he is in his career right now, Taron Johnson. So we'd like to play that for you. Taron Johnson meeting with the media at the podium prior to practice a couple of days ago. We'll get you a couple player sounds today. And then at 11 a.m. today, going to hear from Thad Brown out in Rochester, my guy Thad, who I always think when Thad's on, he sounds like Adam Schefter. It's going to sound like Adam Schefter's talking to him. I think Thad sounds like Adam Schefter. I want you to judge, Josh, when he's on the air later, okay? But it is Thad. It's not Adam. Thad from WROC News 8 in Rochester, of course, part of Bills Kickoff Live as well. I'll be on that show on Friday when it comes to the return of the blue and the red Friday here at Orchard Park for the open practice. We'll get to Taron Johnson. We'll have more player sound a little bit later. Thad Brown at 11. Here is the Buffalo Bills starting veteran nickel cornerback.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I felt good. This whole time, I feel like we've been playing like flag football a little bit, and it's time to get to the real thing, you know what I'm saying? So just having pads on, being physical, making some contact, it feels good. That's a big part of my game.
How do you toe the line when we see guys like KJ and Christian going at it a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, how do you toe that line? Make sure you're doing it the right way, getting the competition in, but also, you know, you're competing.
Yeah. I mean, I say get as close to the line as possible. You know, I feel like iron sharpens iron. You know what I'm saying? So if you got both guys competing at a very high level, there's no place but to get better in it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the environment we have. And when we continue that environment, it makes us better.
And Sean talked about this morning, you know, wanting, what did he want to see out of it? He used the term nasty, physical, girls' method. So was that a message you heard as players beforehand as he's...
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
I mean, that's the identity you want in a defense. You want guys who are there to toe the line. I mean, you don't want to get disrespectful, but if you got guys that are close to that point, that helps. You know what I'm saying? And it's a mindset to be physical and kind of have like this fearless mindset that I have and that I want the whole defense to have.
Matt Milano had a couple strong tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Running across, he looks quick, fast, mm-hmm. physical, you know, at the top point. Just what have you noticed from his campus so far?
That he is who he is. You know what I'm saying? It's not a surprise to me. It's something I've seen for 9 years. You know what I'm saying? So just him being that same guy that he's always been is helpful for us.
Speaking as someone you've seen for a long time for Davis, where does he appear to you on the football field compared to maybe where you saw him maybe before injuries?
No, he's ready. You know what I'm saying? That's all I can say. His quickness is there. His speed is there. He knows the game well. He's not making mental errors. He's ready to play. And that's something that I'm happy to see. He's one of my best friends. So just seeing that is huge.
Bobby said he's on a mission. Do you see that even from the personality and the swag of part of the
Oh, for sure. I mean, people think whatever they think about him, you know what I'm saying? But he's out to not only prove people wrong, but prove to himself that he's the player that he has been in this league.
Sarah, you're getting ready for year number 8. Is it kind of hard to believe that you're already at this point in your career?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's just really a blessing, you know what I'm saying? Being with the Bills for so long, I couldn't. Before I was in the NFL, I couldn't see it any other way, you know what I'm saying? So it's been a crazy blessing, and I just want to take full advantage of it.
You do things differently this far into your career than maybe you didn't need to do when you were a little bit younger, maybe for a second year?
For sure. I mean, but I've added things over the time, and it's just each year I add a little bit here and a little bit there, whatever I can do to get a little bit better.
You're not also continue to challenge yourself now that you're 8 years into this job. What do you need to do at your training camp or other practice?
I feel like putting myself in uncomfortable positions is huge for me. Maybe things that I might not see that often in the game, or just things where I might not like where I'm at, you know? And I feel like that'll put me in the best positions when I'm in the game to make those plays. And whatever I can, my main thing is getting the ball. So whatever, however I can get the ball, however I can force turnovers, that's the goal.
How often during 7-on-7 one-on-one do you experiment with your fundamental techniques? Hey, I'm gonna need this
against. I try to do different techniques here and there, just because it's not Sundays. You know what I'm saying? And this is the times where you want to get better and try things. And I feel like that I can bring into the game and get confident from doing it in practice and then bring it to the game.
Yeah, Terry, you know this team added obviously a lot of size to the D-line through the offseason. How noticeable is that to you, and what else do you, when you're out there, what are you seeing with all these bigger guys?
I mean, I see guys trying to make plays. I mean, it's still early. Like, we just got him passed today. So I just want to see the continuous improvement from our whole defense. You know what I'm saying? We're not where we want to be right now, but still early. And I feel like I'm going to see a lot more in the future.
What do you see from Jordan Hancock? I know he plays a little safety, but sometimes nickel.
Yeah. I mean, I see his physicality. I see that he's flying around. I mean, he kind of looks like a younger version of me a little bit to me. So just having that on our team is going to be extremely helpful with his young.
This is maybe the most competitive DB room you've had since you've been here.
Yeah.
What's that like in that room with everyone? Mm-hmm. The new guys, mm-hmm. the guys you brought back, Dane.
Yeah. It's very competitive. You know what I'm saying? It's only going to make us better. You know, it's going to sharpen guys, the corners, the nickels, the safeties. I feel like we're all just going to be sharpened, and it's going to push guys to be their full potential.
What have you noticed about the way that Cole and Taylor are working together behind
it? They're great. They're great with their communication especially, and you could see how far he's come just within an off season, and how well he knows the defense and how fast he's playing.
Taryn, a lot of new faces on this defense. What's the vibe that you're getting from the group as a whole this year?
Oh, man, that we're going to be really good. But at the same time, we got to double down on the details. If we double down on the details and play with good fundamentals and with that swag and that nasty mentality, I feel like we're going to be going in the right direction.
Who's bringing that swag on the defense?
Who I can think of right now, probably Christian Benford. I think he is the best corner in the NFL. So that's just my opinion.
Darren, going back to Cole, just as a veteran yourself, what do you have to see from a young guy like that that shows, you know, the trust that you can have in that guy, knowing how important the safety position is?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very important. Like, you got to be able to talk. And if I can't hear you back there, I got a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just making sure that he's giving me the call, and he does a great job with it. I don't really got to talk to him much, and he's ahead of it before I am. And that's what I want in the safety.
That is Buffalo Bills starting nickel cornerback Taron Johnson. He met with the media after practice a couple of days ago. So did Greg Rousseau. We have more sound to get to you, and also Thad Brown coming your way right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That is at 11 a.m. We'll get the latest from him, his thoughts on Max Harrison's injury, what that means for the Buffalo Bills, and everything else going on at training camp in Rochester. So stick with me today. Sal Capaccio here. Good to be with you on a Wednesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we were talking about, you know, the Bills' injuries and Max Harrison, obviously, and not knowing his situation. I mentioned Isaiah Likely, who most likely, no pun intended, will be at least at the very least questionable to play week one, I would say, against the Buffalo Bills due to a foot fracture for the Baltimore Ravens. Then you have Kader Kohou, who's out for the Miami Dolphins. Kader Kohou is a very important piece of the Miami Dolphins roster. Let me just see if he should be listed on their depth chart as one of their starting corners. I want to take a look at their entire depth chart. Go over here. Let's see. Here's Miami Dolphins and Kader Kohou. Did they already take him out of there? They might have already taken him out of there on these the roster I'm looking at. But anyway, you think about these. Boy, left Storm Duck is listed as a Miami Dolphins starting corner. Storm Duck. Yes. Who else here? There he is. Kader Kohou. Starting nickel. That's what it is. Starting nickel for Kader Kohou. Isn't Kader Kohou, Josh, the guy that Stephon Diggs completely turned into a top twisted?
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you brought up he's a big piece of their defense, but right. 2 years ago he was getting cooked by Stephon Diggs.
And that's what I said. I'm driving literally with my son this morning, Max, and we're talking about this and we're listening to you guys, and he goes, "Well, is Kader Kohou that good?" And I go, "Do you remember when Stephon Diggs just cooked him?" I'm like, so we could say he's good, but like the Bills have taken advantage of him.
He wasn't bad last year. Right. I remember him having a few really good plays actually in the Bills Dolphins game.
Yes.
At Highmark Stadium last year. And that was, so he's gotten better for sure. Like, he's definitely a key piece to their defense. But like, I just, you know, my lasting memory of him will be when Diggs just kind of made him look silly and spun off of him.
I mean, here's the Patriots. Check out their list today. Who's not practicing? Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, Garrett Bradbury, Harold Landry, Giovanni Tavai, Yasir Durant, Joshua Farmer, Travion Williams, Demir Blackmoose, and Mac Hollins is still on PUP. I mean, everybody's dealing with this stuff right now, right?
Joshua Farmer in there too. That's another, you know, important draft pick for them.
Travion Williams, I mean, is in there, right? I mean, yep. Like these are interesting guys that could wind up having, you know, it roles for these teams. So anyway. One of the things I wanted to bring up was, and this is the difference between the Bills and a lot of teams in the league, okay? We could talk about high-end stars, and yes, you want them. Depth matters, and development matters. And I really, really like what Joe Shad, and I know you're not the biggest fan out there, maybe a Joe Shad, a lot of you, journalist for the Palm Beach Post, previously at ESPN, he wrote, you know, he said, the Miami Dolphins do not get the excuse of injury in 2025. Did you build a roster with necessary depth? Did you make the right decisions on second and third team roster decisions? Those matter, folks. That's what I talk about, depth. You have to have depth. It's not just the high-end players, the all-pros. Everybody wants that. But you really do. When they say next man up, the next man up might not be as good, but you need to have somebody who can do their job, know their job, and be able to get you through what you need to get through. And I'm reading Joe Shad, I'm like, that's right. And that's been a difference with the Bills. Be with them and most teams in the league. All right, Greg Rousseau spoke with the media as well a couple of days ago. Here is the Buffalo Bills starting defensive end.
Greg, first day, pads,
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success.
Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A truer test of what linemen get to do, you get involved in, and how did it all feel?
It was fun. You know, I think it's good to have the pads on. Having pads on makes it more realistic because that's how the game is on Sundays. So, I mean, it's always good to get in the pad, especially for us up front.
And Sean mentioned this morning about like what he was looking for with pads on for the first time in camp. Used the words, I want to see a nastiness. I want to see physical type of play. It was like he was driving a message maybe publicly to what you guys might be hearing internally. Is that for you?
Yeah, that's consistent with what we hear. And, you know, like, having that edge goes a long way in the league. You know what I'm saying? You could really discourage a team by the way you play, the way you run the ball, the way you stop the run. It helps you win week in and week out. So, I mean, that's what we're here for, trying to build that identity and that toughness and that nastiness, like you said, and just that attitude of, like, whatever's in front of us is just in the way.
Does it feel like it's getting, I mean, I know we're early in camp, but what does it feel like? You've got involved in your group, what's your sense of how it's
definitely. I mean, I can only speak for really D line, that's what I practice with. Everybody's urgent, everybody's, you know what I'm saying, trying their best, everybody's playing, trying to play as physical as they can, and we know that's the standard, that's what's required of us, so that's what we got to do.
How do you guys kind of help those young guys and rookies along?
I mean, just with our play, you know what I'm saying. I know, like, personally, I'm not the biggest, like, rah-rah guy, but it's like you go out there, you do it right to the best of your ability. And you have the right attitude about it. You play with juice, energy, everything that Coach Babbage talks about. And, I mean, that's just our mindset. And the young guys kind of just follow along with that as they see it happening right in front of them.
Greg, after not being able to see a lot of those games, what are the shenanigans with
these guys? I mean, he's a dog. He's everything I've seen watching him, like, when he was on the Chargers, you know. So it's fun to be out there with a guy like that. It's a blessing. He's also just a really cool dude. Off the field, we have conversations about random stuff every day. It's consistent, you know what I'm saying? The way he just comes to work, has a good attitude. Obviously, his experience, you know. So, I mean, we're real happy to have him.
Probably not a lot of times during your career when you've had guys in public that you see eye to eye with.
Yeah.
The guys they've drafted are
some big guys, yeah.
Yeah. How about that size? How does that help a defensive line?
It helps for sure, you know, being able to stand firm at the point of attack and also get your hands up, tips and passes. You can make a lot of plays like that, cause a lot of turnovers. So, I mean, it's great. I think it'll help us out.
A lot of was said after the Super Bowl of how the Eagles reminded, this game's always been about when those battles up front, but the Eagles gave a firm reminder how important that could be and how that game went and how physical they were. Any of that register with you is just as a reminder example of what upfront play means and being down?
I mean, everything that I believe in, whatever I think, it all comes from Coach McDermott, Coach Babbage, the D-line coaches we got. So whatever they're telling us to do, whether it's this, that, or the third, is kind of just where I get it from. I don't really look to any other team or any other example of anything, but I know there's a right way to do it. And we know we just got to do that, just keep on doing that more often and more often to get to where we want to go. And we just got to keep getting better.
Greg, you were really productive last year. What is taking the next step into you?
I feel like every year you got to take a step, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like no matter how good you do, it's going to always be like, all right, take that next step, like, get better. There's always a lot of things to work on because no player is perfect, you know what I mean? So, I mean, for me, it's every part of my game. It's the run game. It's pass rushing. It's me being just locked into my assignment. It's my pad level, my hand placement, this, that, and the third. It's kind of everything, and just keep on getting better at everything. Plays hard, you know what I'm saying? He's a young guy, like y'all said, but, you know, he's picking it up quick. All the young guys are really doing a good job, you know, Landon, Hayden, Dion, TJ, they're all doing a good job, you know what I'm saying? They're all very observant, you know what I'm saying, and just kind of soaking things up, and they got the right mindset, for sure.
Right, with all these young guys, a guy like Daquan Jones, 12-year vet, how have you seen his approach to helping those young guys?
Just leading by example, you know, like, there's a right way to do things and there's a not so right way to do things. So him just showing them, like, this is how you do it. If he's going up first in a drill, him just being locked in and him doing his job and showing somebody else how to do their job as well. And I'm sure he shares little tidbits on the side with them. You know, I'm not in all the conversations because they play D tackle and I play D, and so more so I'm talking to like Landon and Javon Solomon and those younger guys and stuff.
What is Coach Babbitt bringing to the table in the second year as a defensive player?
Juice, energy, you know, and really just the standard that we have to uphold every day. I know he pushes me personally, he pushes all the guys, you know what I'm saying? We're never satisfied, whether it's a bad practice or good practice, like ups and downs. He's always on us. He's always trying to get the most out of us, and it's all coming from a good place, all coming from him wanting to see us reach our goals, win a Super Bowl, this, that, and the third, whatever it is. He's trying to get us to all the way up here to the pinnacle of where we could be at. So, I mean, he pushes us super hard, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we're blessed to have him, and it only makes us better.
What's your advice in your conversations like with some of these rookies who are trying to make a roster spot as a practice squad, and every rep really counts?
Yeah, I'd say really just, I tell them just locking on the details, you know, like, don't get too ahead of yourself, you know, focus on one rep at a time. If you're in meetings right now, make sure you got your pen out and you're writing. If you're in the weight room, make sure you're getting full extension on that press. And when you're at the field, make sure you're taking every single rep seriously. You're locked into your assignment. You're locked into the possible adjustments based off formation. Just little things, making sure that you kind of cross all your T's and dot all your I's, and you're just taking it one step at a time. Because if you get too ahead of yourself in this league, it's very overwhelming. If you're thinking about roster cuts, you think about this, that, and the third, is a lot for you. So really just kind of breaking it down to the smallest things.
And Greg, you came into this as a very young rookie, limited experience at the collegiate level for those different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you've grown, the growth that you've experienced. Can you walk through like what that's been like? And I'm sure it plays into your advice to these.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to that, it's like my first year is a lot. You're like you're drinking out of a fire hose. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I also had good guys around me like Ed, who kind of helped me out and stuff. And Daquan, my second year, he came in, and Vaughn. But I mean, they all kind of had the same message. Like, just take it one day at a time. You know what I'm saying? Focus on picking something to get better at, if not everything, but focusing on this and kind of just being locked into the little details. And then year by year, the more reps you get under your belt, the more Sundays you play football, the more times you see this play, you see that formation, you see this pass set, you see that run block, you see this hinge block, whatever it is, you're going to just keep on getting better at it with practice. It's like kind of like anything you do. Like, the more you ride a bike or a scooter, the better you're at. You get better at doing it from just doing it over and over again.
How would you describe Ryan Nielsen's
approach? He's real locked in. Like, he's locked into the details, like the smallest things, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's on us for sure. But, I mean, he's a great coach. He also wants the best out of us, and he expects a lot, so he pushes us day in and day out. But, like, his individual period is very detailed to the smallest things. Like, your hand shouldn't be like this. It should be like this. So just little things like that. And that's only going to make us better coming this fall.
You laugh a little bit there when he flips the hat around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's locked in. Yeah. Yeah. He's in a different mode. Yeah. If you're talking, he's going to be like, chill out. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he got me a couple times yesterday. So – yeah, but he's a good dude. You know what I'm saying? He's pushing us, and he just wants the best out of us. So, I mean, I got nothing but respect for him.
Greg, you mentioned Javon. What are the challenges at conference that taking that leap into year two? But then also, how have you seen him come in with the right approach?
I mean, man, like, his attitude day in and day out, it's positive. He's always ready to work. You know what I'm saying? He's never moping around. So, I mean, a lot of times I'm feeding off of a guy like Javon. And then the way he can rush, the way he can bend the corner, he had a couple sacks last year off limited reps, so he's only going to get better, and we're glad to have him. He's a great dude too.
That is Buffalo Bills defensive end Greg Rousseau meeting with the media. The Bills are off today from practice at St. John Fisher University. Back tomorrow, bright and early again, 9:45 a.m. I guess I should say that, bright and early, right? 9:45 a.m. It gets a little hot, actually. It's a little mid-morning action for the Bills again, but then it's going to be the late afternoon action here, the return of the blue and red at Highmark Stadium on Friday evening. Hey, tune in this week for your chance to win two tickets to the Buffalo Bisons home game on Saturday, August 2nd at Salem Field. That's this Saturday, starting at 6:35 p.m. Celebrate women in sports, plus a post-game drone show. I am super into the drone shows. They're amazing. These drone shows that I see on these talent shows or anywhere else, they've done them at these sporting events. I have no idea how they get these things in sync like that and how someone's doing that. It's incredible. It's probably way easier than I realize, but maybe not, because it just seems way over my head. No pun intended, because it's drones. But yeah, you got to see this coming up. Celebrate Women in Sports, post-game drone show, and you can tune in this week for your chance to win two tickets to the Bisons game this Saturday at Salem Field at 6:35 p.m. before that. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll prep one more segment. Get you ready for Thad Brown coming your way from WROC-TV in Rochester after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. You know, if you go by number of practices, the Bills are already halfway through, more than halfway through St. John Fisher University. I mean, they do have training camp technically still happens in Buffalo when they come back. It's still training camp. They have 11 total practices. I know 10 on a calendar a lot of you see. That's the fans that are allowed to go to practices, the open portions for fans. There's one practice that's not open to the public. They have, like, corporate sponsors and some other people who are there, but it's not open to the public that day. That's the 11th. That's August 4th, actually, next Monday. But so they have a total of 11 practices at St. John Fisher. They've already had six. So you have five more. You have one back here in Buffalo. And listen, I mean, it's this Friday back here in Buffalo. And by the way, I'll be hosting with Bulldog Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. And I'll be down at the stadium hosting with him. And then I'm going to head down to the field for the open practice. People call it a scrimmage. It doesn't have to be a scrimmage. It's not really. It's an open practice. They practice. They do a lot of things they normally do at practice at St. John Fisher, but they're doing it in front of fans here in Buffalo and Orchard Park. So anyway, the point I'm making is they are going to have that 3 to 5 p.m. Or three, I'm sorry, 5 till 7 p.m. on Friday night. Then they're off Saturday. They go back to St. John Fisher next Sunday, this coming Sunday, but that's an 11:15 a.m. practice because it gives a little time extra for guys to get back Saturday night, going back from Buffalo or coming back up Sunday morning if they want to. So it gives them a little more time. It's kind of a thing they do every year to have that practice a little later. Then they got Sunday, they got Monday, and Tuesday next week? Sunday, Monday, and then Wednesday, Thursday. That's what it is, Wednesday, Thursday. So still, after tomorrow's practice, you got four more all next week. And then it's preseason. Preseason number one against the New York Giants. By the way, what is that? Have I been reading Malik Nabers has been hurt too? Like, he's got a toe injury, right? I think that's the case.
Yeah, it's the same toe injury he's had since his time at LSU. He actually called it similar to something like a mosquito that won't go away, which is an interesting way to describe an injury.
There is a press conference happening right now for the Sabres down at KeyBank Center announcing the naming rights deal to KeyBank to extend. In the meantime, Rachel Lindsay, I'm reading here, her of the Buffalo News, who covers the Sabres, she wrote this. Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz on the future of KeyBank Center said, "I expect the Sabres to stay here a long time, and there will be some work that will be done, and we'll resolve that all through the negotiations, probably coming in earnest later this year. Through, of course, next year." So if you're wondering about renovations to KeyBank Center, how they can continue to make this thing go forward and, you know, be better in a lot of different capacities and areas, Mark Poloncarz says, "But we got to get that football stadium done on time." Yes. Listen, I've said this before. These headlines you read about, oh, the football stadium's not going to be done. Folks, it's like a punch list. You know, if you ever bought a house, and you say, you know what, unless you build it brand new, if you ever bought a house, you buy it, and yes, there's an inspection, and everything's ready to move in, but when you get in, you're like, yeah, when I get in, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to kind of touch that up. Yeah, it's not totally exactly where it needs to be. That's what's going on with the Bills Stadium, the new Highmark Stadium, from what I understand. And I think there's a little bit too much of a freak out going on with some of the kind of clicky headlines about the stadium and the timeline and things like that. So it looks like the Sabres, KeyBank Center, they've had that announcement and is a 10-year agreement to keep the naming rights at KeyBank Center. Speaking of KeyBank Center, how about the University of Buffalo and Syracuse playing an exhibition basketball game coming up there in October, I believe it's going to be. So that should be interesting. We'll take a timeout here. Thad Brown of WROC-TV in Rochester joins me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way.
Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.